1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. As you're turning there, I want to remind you that there are many places in Scripture that mention prayer. There are so many, it's impossible for us to exhaust them all in a two-day conference. It's impossible. We're going to try to cover a couple, but it is astounding how often prayer is mentioned in Scripture. The Lord knows how desperately we need it. I think we are the ones that don't realize how desperately we need prayer. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 8, let's read all those verses together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore, here's our last verse for now, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We're going to try to cover not everything, but just some major things from that little segment of Scripture. And it is important for us to note Paul telling Timothy in the first epistle, one of the most important things that Timothy as a pastor needs to know, but not just for him as a pastor, but for him to teach the church too. Good instruction by Paul. Let's think about it that way, but let's have a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity. We have prayed often already throughout this conference, multiple times just in this particular service, but it's because we need your help so desperately. I need your help to be able to say the things that I need to say. And Lord, everybody that's here needs your help to be able to not only understand what I'm talking about, so to speak, but Lord, to be able to hear your voice, speak to them personally about things that are very unique to them, things that are going on in their own life, their family, their heart. Lord, I pray that you would do that, that you would speak to the life and heart of each individual who's here. I do want you to help me to say the things that I need to say, but Lord, there are things that you can say between the lines and with the words and even without the words that I speak to the hearts of these that are here. Because really, the main goal here is for them to hear from you, not me. So please, Lord, take control this time, and I pray that you would speak to each one who's here, including me. Remind me of some things, speak to my heart about things. Lord, speak to us all through the power of your Holy Spirit. We'll give you praise in advance for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know how you feel about it, but I will say this. I am glad, personally, that there is at least some semblance, I use that somewhat loosely, of return to godliness in Washington. And I use that loosely because they're not near as godly as I think they should be.
Right.
But compared to where we were, okay, you can mention God now. There are some people praying now from time to time in Washington. It seems like that was this close to becoming illegal. And so I'm really happy that at least there's some semblance of that in Washington. I am at the same time concerned that God's people will get comfortable because we have some people in Washington, different roles, not just Trump and Vance, but other people that he's tried to surround himself with, a variety of them. And by the way, you need to know that without, this isn't a political message, but I don't know if you know this or not, but Tulsi Gabbard is not a Christian. She's moral, but I believe she's Hindu. I don't know if you know that or not. Trump's cabinet picks are very broad. He's trying to reach all the bases. And that's Elon Musk. Elon Musk is visiting Bible Baptist, or I'm used to saying that now, Bible Baptist. Madison Baptist Church. Is Elon Musk here at church this morning, you know? No, you're not shocked by that, right? So I don't want you to think Washington is our savior.
Right.
That's important. Jesus is our savior.
Amen.
Now, I'm glad that there is some semblance of godliness. It's better, I think, than it was, and hopefully it's not illegal to use the name Jesus and to be able to preach the gospel, and we have freedom to be able to free speech, do the things that we're supposed to be doing. And this text kind of talks about that, praying then for the place that we live, the people in authority, that we can continue to live a life in godliness and honesty and peace. That's really what I want to talk to you about during this message. Now, again, this isn't a political message. If I say anything about Trump at all, I've done this at different places, even remotely positive, some Christians get mad. Even remotely positive. But if I say something about Trump and even just mention his name, people are like, oh yeah, you know, I can't wait till we get America back. Matter of fact, the statement that somebody made, I heard another preacher say it, that after the service he was preaching, somebody came up to him afterwards, and they made the statement and they said to this other preacher, and I could give you the name of the preacher, most of you would know who it is, but I'm going to leave it out of there for now. Said to him after the service, I can't wait till Jesus comes back, because then we finally get America back. Excuse me? Do you realize he's going to set up a totally different kingdom?
Amen.
And the head of that kingdom isn't in Washington.
That's right. Amen.
It seems like there's a place over in the Middle East somewhere named Jerusalem where, you know, that's going to be his headquarters. There's a complete misunderstanding. So I don't know how you feel about Trump or, you know, Vance or Tulsi Gabbard or any of those people. I'm glad that we've got a little reprieve where we've got some freedom of speech that I can continue to do this. And at least right now, from what I know, I'm not too afraid of being arrested to preach to you this morning. But be careful that as a Christian, you do not fall asleep and think we're good to go now. If you are, in fact, you know, pro-current administration, think that we're currently safe. By the way, I don't know who the next person's going to be 4 years from now. What's going to happen 4 years from now? Anybody looking forward to all the political commercials all over again on the television? What's going to happen 4 years from now? I have no idea what's going to happen 4 years from now. It's important for us to remember the world is still very confused. The world is still very confused. Jesus has not come back yet to set up his kingdom. We are not in the millennium. Satan has not been bound yet for 1,000 years and thrown in a bottomless pit. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen.
Amen.
That Jesus is going to come back and set up his 1,000-year kingdom here on earth, literal, that has not happened yet.
Right.
And during that time, Satan will be bound and cast into a bottomless pit. He will be loosed again at the end of that, prior to the Lord finally wiping it all out and starting all over again and making a new heaven and a new earth. And boy, I can't wait till that happens.
Amen.
Because I can't wait to get rid of this flesh, but this world that we're living in has been scarred by sin, and it continues to be scarred. And if you look, history repeats itself. We go back in the Old Testament, if we would, we'd find, okay, evil king, evil king, evil king. And, you know, the Lord had a good king then. You ever heard the name Josiah? Josiah, if you want to do a word study on a king, Josiah was a great king. So the land had a reprieve during, you know, Old Testament days, where a guy named Josiah brought back something they hadn't done in a long time. And as king, he said, paraphrase, we need the Passover again. That Passover needs to become legal again. So we need to have the Passover, and we're going to have a Passover. And wow, are we going to have a Passover? And you know what? They did. But there was a day Josiah died. And then when Josiah died, guess what happened to the people? And that's largely based on the people themselves and not how much the leadership wants God, but how much the people want God. And unfortunately, one of the things that we find in Scripture is God often gives the people what they deserve. Now, that should scare you. I don't want him to give me what I deserve, because he hasn't with salvation. Jesus Christ died and paid for my sin. I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve.
Amen.
And when it comes to everything else in my life, man, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, you got to help us. We need your help. See, in this day and age that Paul is trying to write to Timothy and train Timothy a little bit and trying to give him some advice as to how he's supposed to live, in a very wicked and twisted world, where at the time, the Roman Empire, the Romans are in control. What a mess that was. I don't know if you've ever been in that part of the world and done a little tour as to some things. I remember being in, and I don't want to describe it to you because I really shouldn't describe it to you in mixed company, so to speak, but bathhouses and what the Romans did in the bathhouses, not just the bathhouses, but the bathrooms. I mean, this whole bathroom, who can go in there thing? Oh, that's not brand new. You go back into that part of the world and you just tour the bathrooms and have somebody tell you some history. It's a disaster. That's the kind of world Timothy's living in. And Paul is going to tell Timothy some advice of some things that he needs to pray for. The way to pray in that world. Okay, you got a bad king, you got a good king, you got this Caesar, you got that one who's in control. Who's going to be the next one that's going to be in control? Look, the truth is, we're not going to stop the process of the evil taking over the world. I don't know if you know that or not. You're not going to stop the Antichrist from trying to set up his kingdom before the real Christ sets up his kingdom. That's going to happen. And some of the stuff you and I have seen, you should be able to read scripture and say, that's a setup, that's a setup, that's a setup, that's a setup. What's it setting us up for? It's setting us up for the Antichrist that'll be revealed someday. So all that stuff, you can see it coming down the pike. You should know that stuff. We're not going to stop that process. However, praise the Lord, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to be completely different. And by the way, praise the Lord, we can give the gospel out freely. That I would hope when the street ministry starts back up again, if you took a little break probably this weekend because of this conference, but you're right back at it, Lord willing, weather permitting and et cetera, the Lord's in control of that. But you get back onto the street ministry, I'm hoping you won't get arrested for passing out tracts downtown. And somebody should say, amen, I'm hoping we don't get arrested for passing out tracts downtown. But you and I should never take those things for granted. That's where the world is headed. The Lord warned his disciples about that even before the death of Jesus Christ. There'll come a day that he that killeth you would think that he doeth God's service. By the way, we're kind of numb to it in America because we've been safe so far. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are people in other places in the world that are actually going through that stuff while we're sitting comfortably in a church, and it's a big sacrifice because it snowed outside. They actually, in other places in the world, could be killed for identifying with Christ.
Right.
That is happening currently. Now, again, I am hoping like you do that if you understand Scripture and you know that according to Scripture, there's going to be something that we refer to as the rapture, the Lord's going to take his people out of here before he pours out his wrath on earth. Boy, I hope that that happens today.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I am ready.
Amen.
I was ready yesterday, and I am even more ready today. I hope you're ready for that. By the way, if you were to go in the rapture, or in a RAV4, because a car accident, you know, and man, I hope you're ready, because you have no idea. I say a RAV4 because that's what I drove down this morning, and I think about that while I'm driving the interstate. I'm driving the interstate. I'm not crazy, but they are. You don't know what you're going to face. I hope you're ready, whether it's rapture or RAV4. Either way, you're ready to go. Are you ready to go? I hope you're ready to go. But in the meantime, while we're here, the Lord must have us here for a reason. There must be some things he wants us to do. There must be some gospel he wants us to give out. There must be something that he has for us as a task. As a matter of fact, with Paul telling Timothy, think about why he is saying that. Now, we're going to go back to this prayer stuff and what to pray for, but I want you to understand this. Look in the middle of that, okay? Verse number 3, he tells us in 1 and 2 to pray and to pray for this, and we're going to talk about that prayer. And this morning's message is pray for peace, but the reason for this in verse number 3 is this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, semicolon, who will have all men to be saved. We need to pray for these things and be passionate about it and serve the Lord and have a prayer life, not just for ourselves, But ladies and gentlemen, there are people around us who need to understand Jesus is the Savior.
Amen.
Washington's not the Savior. Trump's not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior.
Amen.
By the way, I don't know what church you came from or the visitors or whatever. I have no idea what visitors are here, but Martin Luther's not the Savior. St. Peter's not the Savior. Mary, the mother of Jesus, isn't the Savior. John the Baptist isn't the Savior. Fred the Baptist isn't the Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior.
Amen.
And I'm glad about that. It's okay. We submit ourselves to him as the Savior. There is one meat, and here it goes. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God, that God that we just talked about, and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's the only Savior. Jesus is the only one. And the reason he's left us here and the reason he hasn't snatched us out in the world that is full of trouble, and some trouble has been in the past. Okay, we get little breaks here and there, but what trouble's in the future, tomorrow or the day after? 4 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know. How long is it before the Lord's going to leave us here? I don't know. I'm ready to go today, but I know those who were before me, they were ready to go then. And many of them lived a natural life and died a physical death. I got to be ready for that too. But I have a job to do while I'm here. And while I'm doing that job, giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people, which, by the way, is not my only job, that only my job. That's your job as well. We're all called to tell. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every preacher. Creature, you have preachers to help you do that. You have missionaries to help you do that. But God, that doesn't absolve you and I from giving the gospel to people as well. That's why we're still here giving the gospel. Madison Baptist Church, you need to know you are salt and light in a very dark and tasteless world. God expects us to live differently, and therefore, back to verse number one. I'm going to give you four things if I could, and then he gives them reasons to pray. Pray. The first one is kind of therefore, and the real reason for it is because of sin. You see, in the very beginning of chapter two and verse number one, I exhort therefore. And then he goes on with, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made. But he says, therefore. Every time you see the word therefore, you've heard this before, you need to pay attention to what it's there for. It's because of the previous chapter, in other words. And it's really simple. This isn't deep theological stuff. It's really pretty surface and pretty basic. But look at the previous chapter. Let me just show you a sample. Verses 9 and 10, for example. All right, verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for lawless and disobedient. Chapter 1, now verses 9. For the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars. Any liars in the world today? Perjured persons. If there be anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. Pray therefore. Why? Because there are sinners in the world who do some despicable things. I mean, okay, I'm glad, again, for some sense of morality, I guess, in the White House, but that hasn't stopped all the murders in our country. That hasn't stopped all the liars in our country. That hasn't stopped all the whoremongers in our country. That hasn't stopped sexual immorality. That hasn't stopped a thousand things. We still have wicked sinners living in the world today. As a matter of fact, it's not just the totally ungodly. Sometimes it's the religious that aren't what they should be. There's a guy that's mentioned at the end of this chapter. One of them, anyway, is mentioned a little bit later in the same book. But it's somebody who talks about the fact that they think the resurrection's already passed. And Paul actually says they're overthrowing the faith of some by saying that. No, the resurrection hasn't happened yet. The millennium hasn't started yet. Jesus hasn't come set up his kingdom, but he promises he will be. He will do that, and that will happen. But look, and he mentions them at the end, and I'm pointing these out on purpose because this is the therefore that he mentioned in the first verse of the second chapter. So here's the end of the same chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 19. Go ahead in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. He describes that later in the book. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn to blaspheme. I exhort therefore. So you know what the therefore in the previous chapter is, there are some people that are completely ungodly. We need to pray, therefore. There are some people who claim to be religious, but their doctrine is all wrong. They do not understand. The Lord has not come back yet, set up his kingdom yet. That has not happened. Jesus literally will be here at some point. And they're twisting script. We need to pray, therefore, because there's a lot of bad doctrine out there. So we need to pray, number one, therefore, because there are still sinners in the world. And I would say this, I've had people say this to me, you know, Pastor, you know, we're living in a post-Christian society. What's going to happen to the church if we're living in a post-Christian society? People don't even want to hear it. I can guarantee you I will never be out of a job. I will never be out of a job. You know why? Sinners still need Christ. And there are still sinners in the world today. Religious ones and completely ungodly ones. Ones that even reject God completely and reject there is a God. They're sinners. And someday, when they have somebody in their life die, when they have trouble because of alcoholism, they're going to want the Jesus that I have. And sometimes the religious people whose doctrine is totally wrong and whacked out and they have no peace and their faith is overthrown, like Alexander and Hymenaeus, they're going to need the peace that I have from the Lord Jesus Christ, not myself and my, you know, Baptist theology necessarily, but the book from the Word. They need that. I need to pray because, Lord, there are sinners out there. Help them to realize they need the Jesus I've got. Help them to realize they need the peace that I have. Remember, it's the peace, because that's the message that I'm talking about. I'm praying for peace, and I'll show you that here in this text. This is the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about giving his disciples. I got to ask you that question. Do you have that peace? As a matter of fact, is there anybody else out there in the world today that would actually like the faith of Christ that you have? I remember years ago, you heard this, I was pastor here, some of you don't know that, visitors and so on, but I remember mapping out this area of the city and, you know, highlighting where we were going door to door, and I remember talking to a guy that was just down Portage Road here, and he's an atheist. I've met more atheists in Madison than anywhere else I've ever been in my whole life, and I met one down here talking to him, just knocking on his door and stuff, and we actually talked. He was gracious enough to talk to me for like an hour. I didn't get to another door because he was talking to me for like an hour. But if he was willing to talk to me, I thought, okay, maybe the Holy Spirit will get through. We got done and we talked about things, talked about what he believed in. He believed in science and blah, 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 blah. And he was, you know, from UW and et cetera. And I got him to admit at the end of the hour that there are some unanswered questions science can't answer. So he must have faith in something and he's got faith in the scientist. And he admitted that. And after the whole thing, well, I tell them, you know, this is what my faith is in. This is what happened, and it's historical. Jesus died on the cross. It's 2,000 years ago. Our entire calendar is based on this. By the way, he's worked in my life, and I began to talk about how, you know, I've got a faith in God. And by the way, I sleep at night because I've got peace. I know where I'm going when I die. I don't have the worries that he has. And I just began to share this, and he just, at the end of it, had nothing to say except for, I got to say, I admire your faith. All right, you know what? If that's all you got out of this conversation, maybe something, and I don't know what happened to the guy, but at some point, he's going to have grandma die or mom die or wife die or kid die, or there's going to be something that happens in his life. He's going to wish I had my Jesus, or he had my Jesus. Does anybody wish they had your faith and your praying, therefore, because there are sinners in the world that need to see that salt and light in us. Pray, therefore. And you need to pray, Lord, help them. Help me to live it. Help me to show it. Help them to see they need it. We as Christians should never be, bear with me, out of a job. We should always have somebody that we can tell. We've got something they need. Even if they don't realize right now they need it. They truly do. And I'm glad I know Jesus Christ, my Savior. By the way, I don't know if you hear all in this room. I don't know your heart. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Knowing he died on the cross, that's history. A lot of people know he died on the cross. Knowing he died to pay for your sin and you know him personally, now that's salvation. Amen. Those are different. I'm not asking you, do you know about Jesus? Okay, a guy died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Okay, it's 2025 based on, you know, Christ and when he was born and all that stuff. But that's history. Do you know him as your Savior?
Right.
That's extremely important. And if you don't, I got to tell you, I've had some near-death experiences a couple of times. I know what it's like. I feel for this brother that had a heart attack. But I still remember when I had a heart attack up in Reedsburg. They sent me down in an ambulance down to UW. They were going to wait until after Christmas because I was real stable and shocked at that myself. But then I had another heart attack at UW, and they're like, well, I guess we can't wait. So then they called in the surgeons, and they didn't put one stent in. I had four of them put in. I still remember when they wheeled me back. I just texted Mary, headed back. And honestly, I don't understand it, but there was no worry. There was just no worry. If I didn't come out of that room alive, I was going to be better off. And I concerned a little bit for my wife and son that I would leave behind. You understand that feeling. But for me, and it's not because I'm so righteous. Mm-mm. This guy, oh no, he's a sinner. It's because of Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
It's because of the one I'm trusting in. We need to pray, therefore, that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that they can see that peace, that they can ask why we have that peace. Why are you not worried about it? The world's falling apart around you. How come you're not freaked out? That's what we Christians ought to have that they don't have. Pray, therefore, and then pray. Did you notice this, first of all? He didn't say, and man, I could spend a lot of time on this because it's very typical of the average Christian, pray last of all. I think most people, if they were to write this, say, pray last of all. You know, after you tried everything else, after you asked all of your relatives, after you've maxed out your credit card, after you asked your doctor and your psychic and everybody else you can come up with, after you ask your pastor, all right, well then, you guys, you got to pray about it. Did you notice that's not what he said?
Right.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, because of the previous things in the previous chapter, that first of all, the first thing you ought to do is supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all saints. And if you are one, obviously it's going to include you. So, man, I got to ask you that question. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this one, but I do want you to think about it real quickly. Did you pray? And again, this is rhetorical. I'm not asking you to answer it out loud, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm assuming that most people in this room know Christ as their Savior, and you do know how to pray, at least in your own head. Maybe you don't feel comfortable praying in front of everybody else and leading the entire church, but can you talk to Jesus Christ, your own Savior? Did you think about that when you left the house this morning? Lord, help me to be the Christian I'm supposed to be today. Lord, I'm not going to make it safe to the church unless you keep your angels about me. Lord, help me to get something from that sermon. I mean, you know that pastor. I really need your help getting something from him. I don't know how you want to pray that. I don't care. Tell the Lord, yeah, that guy's a chump. You need help hearing from God. That's fine. I don't care. I want you to hear from God no matter what you think of me. And I think your pastor does as well. He wants you to hear from God, bottom line. But do you pray about those things? How about this? It's another thing that I pray about. I do almost every Sunday afternoon. Lord, help me not to forget the stuff that you taught me this morning. There's so many things that you said to me in that service, and I remember at the end of it, but I don't want to forget those things later this afternoon, God forbid, tomorrow. Lord, help me remember. You pray about these things because I need that. I need the Lord to help me, and I want to pray first of all and last of all and in between. I am supposed to constantly be praying because, again, what I need is I need his help. I need his help desperately. And the weapons that I'm supposed to be fighting with in this battle that I'm fighting, they're not physical, they're not of my flesh. They're battles that are fought on my knees in prayer, asking and begging God, the creator of the universe, for help. And this is the one that you and I need help from the most and desperately. And of all the things that Paul could tell Timothy, he doesn't tell him to rely on his education. Tell everybody that I'm the one that taught you. You know, your degree says the school of Paul. Is Timothy, I would first of all, and therefore, because there's sinners still in the world, and some of them are religious sinners, and some of them are really total heathen sinners, but I would you therefore would pray, and pray, by the way, Timothy, first of all, don't do that last. Don't wait until the end. Don't wait until you have exhausted all your other resources. By the way, I got to say this to you, and I want you to think about it. If you pray last of all, it proves what and or who you're trusting. If you pray last of all, it proves you trust God least. You should not pray after your credit card's maxed out or after you've asked everybody. I don't want you to think about that, really. Okay, so let's be somewhat rhetorical and a little more quiet here. Okay, fireside chat with Pastor Friend. When you have trouble, who is rhetorical now? Don't answer out loud. Who's the first person you think of asking? When you have trouble, who's the first person? First of all, first thought that comes to your mind, first name that comes to your mind. You know who it should be? First of all, I got to talk to God about this. That's who it should be. It should be Him first. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this, okay? What is, I think again, most of you, you've been in church before. What is the first and great commandment? Love the Lord your God with half your heart. Put Him last. Is that the first and great commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Everything you got, He deserves first. You know, this may be a shock to you, but when, we'll just loosely say this about all of it, eternity rolls around, He's first. It's amazing. You read the book of Revelation. What's the focal point? Him and His throne. There's stuff that goes on around that, but when I looked, I saw a throne. And in the midst of that throne is a lamb as it had been slain. Praise the Lord, and the focus is all about Him. And then somebody brought out a book, and there was nobody who could read the book. And I was weeping much, and I'm paraphrasing. But then obviously he said, don't weep not. Weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, that Lamb, He's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. It's all about Him. Did you think to pray? Did you go to Jesus? Is He the first name? And by the way, if He's not the first name, you know what you and I ought to do? Lord, I'm sorry that I thought of my husband first. I'm so used to asking Him for everything. And I know He would like to be first, but the truth is, even above my husband, you ought to be first. Lord, I'm sorry, I saw it to my wife first. Kids, I saw it to my parents first. You're an adult. I saw it to my dad. He's got the wisdom. Who are you thinking of first? I will, therefore, there are sinners in the world. I will, first of all, prayer should be, therefore, because of sin. Prayer should be first of all, not last, talking to God first. He's the first one we need. And listen, I will say this, and I'm going to move on to my next point. It is very possible He will give you another human to go to. It is very possible He will give you another human to go to. How do I know that? Okay, there's a bunch of examples I could give you. Some of them come to my mind. I mean, you got Moses all the way back in the Old Testament, and he's seeing the bush and all that stuff, and he says, okay, Aaron's on his way out. Go meet Aaron. He gave him a human to go to. I'm thinking of in the New Testament, okay? So the Lord does kind of the same thing. It's not a burning bush. It is a bright light at noonday above the brightness of the sun. Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. Okay, what does the Lord tell him to do? Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What would you have me to do, Lord? He's asking why. And the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. Acts chapter 9, right? Go into this city and it'll be told you what you ought to do. And I'm again paraphrasing, I get that. And then he goes to Ananias and says, Ananias, there's a guy named Saul in that city. He is having a bad time, but he's seen in a vision a guy named Ananias coming and laying hands. He puts humans together. And I'm glad he puts humans together, but do you know who you really should ask first? We should be asking Him first. The first name that ought to come to my mind. And by the way, I just say this. I mean, all of us should be saying, Lord, I am sorry that I've asked anybody before I've asked You. I'm sorry I asked my boss about vacation before I asked You if I should take the vacation then. It's quiet in here. I'm sorry I asked and again, you could fill in the blank. First of all, who is the one that can help you? Who is the one who can give you the peace? Who's the one that can guide your life? Here's the third thing then, and this is a major part of it, and this is why I mentioned the stuff about Washington and so on. Pray for those in authority. Pray for those in authority. Again, another caution that I have and a concern that I have for Christians is when somebody's in the White House that we don't like, we complain very quickly. But I do wonder how much we pray for the person who's in the White House. Complaining's easy. Praying takes a little more work. Okay, so maybe you didn't like Biden. Did you pray for him? Maybe you didn't like Kamala. Did you pray for her? Not that God would kill her. For her.
That's right, amen.
Okay, you don't like Trump. All right, so you're not a Trump fan, because I get it. Not everybody does. Are you praying for him? Because like it or not, he's in the White House right now, and guess what? He needs to be guided by God desperately. And whoever it is that's going to be next, man, they need to be guided by God. For example, all right, again, there's a thousand things I could put in this place. I'm mentioning the White House, but God installs a leader of a church in a position of leadership. And in our current makeup of the church, he installs, sometimes they're called elders, sometimes bishops. I don't think it's Bishop Mike Weiss. But sometimes they're just called pastors or under shepherds. It's kind of the same thing. Peter refers to him as elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, who also am an elder. So he's kind of a pastor of the church. He's one of the leaders of the church. That you should take oversight of the flock, not as lords over God's heritage, but you do have the oversight thereof. Okay, so God set it up that way. I understand, by the way, it's easy to complain about leadership, no matter where that leadership is. I can talk about your pastor. It's easy to complain about him. Are you praying for him? Do you pray that he will give you, rather than, and again, these are things that I've heard, you know, my pastor, I don't know, I don't hear anything from him. I just, his messages are so dry. Would you pray? And nobody says that about this guy. It's other churches that I've heard that of. It's other churches. That's right. But then I have to wonder when that happens, are you praying for him? And by the way, maybe even earlier than just 5 minutes before the service starts. Maybe Saturday? Lord, church is tomorrow. I really would like you to give Pastor Mike Weiss something that I need. I know you've chosen to speak through him. The body has different pieces. There's hands, there's feet. He's the mouth. So you've chosen to speak through him. Lord, would you speak through him? Because I need to hear from you. I know he's just a guy and I'm just a guy, but I need to hear. So would you speak through him? Jesus tells Paul to go hear what Ananias has to say. Next chapter, Acts chapter 10. I joked about that this morning. One of my favorite chapters in Acts. The Lord tells Cornelius to send for Peter so that Peter can come and give him words. And it's okay. I guess that's what God chose. So the Lord called him to come here and give you words. Are you praying that the Lord will give you the words you need through him? These are the things that we are told to pray for. And by the way, there's a thousand examples. I got to show you this real quickly. Again, my time is escaping. Go back to Nehemiah. There's so many examples I could give you, and some of them I just kind of rattled off the top of my head. You know, Paul on the road, Saul on the road to Damascus, Peter and Cornelius. There's so many examples, but it's not that the Lord doesn't show examples like that in the Old Testament where you're supposed to pray and pray for those in authority. Nehemiah chapter 1, as you're turning back there, I'm going to try not to ramble, but give you this and then move on. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. I'm going to go ahead and read for you, believe it or not, Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 4 through 11. One of the main reasons I'm going to read for you Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 4 through 11 is because often when people think about prayer and Nehemiah, they often have in their mind, it is a very short prayer. As a matter of fact, what people often have said, and I gotta say, I've used that at times, but then thinking about it more, yeah, you know what? I was wrong for using that as an example because it's not complete. It's not the whole picture. Do you know what I mean if I was to say to you, if you understand Bible and you've been a Christian for a while and you know the Bible a little bit, do you know what I mean by a Nehemiah prayer? What does the phrase Nehemiah prayer mean to you? Oh, it's real short. Oh, Lord help me, because in the next chapter, that's kind of what he does. The king basically says to him, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? And then he utters a prayer. And, Lord help me, what am I going to say? And then he opens his mouth. I mean, it's a Nehemiah prayer. It's real quick. You know why the Nehemiah short prayer worked? Because of the long prayer he prayed in the previous chapter. Because there are times you are driving down the road about to get in an accident and you have to say, Lord, help me. You don't have time for a big, long get right with God session. There might be a time you have a heart attack and you don't have time for a get right with God session that lasts a long time. You need God now. You better be right first of all. And so here's Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 1. Here's a prayer. It came to pass, verse number 4, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain, this is beautiful, days. Not a 5-second prayer, days. And by the way, fasted and prayed. What is this guy doing before that Nehemiah prayer in chapter 2? Days, fasted, prayed before God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. He did this first. And by the way, authority is going to come into it next. That keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servant, to confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Yep, we're all sinners. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations, but if ye turn unto me, he's quoting God's word back to him, and keep my commandments and do them. Though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place which I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Here it is, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. That preceded the Nehemiah prayer, it was prior to that Nehemiah prayer in the next chapter. He spent some time confessing sin, getting right with God. This is very similar to Sunday school. How can Peter be bold, and where would he get that? Because he got right with God first. How can Nehemiah have that short prayer and have the boldness to speak up to the king? I'd like to go back to Jerusalem and repair the walls. How long is your journey going to be? What? How did that work? Wow, that's all he needed? No, he spent some time praying first of all in the first chapter. Who's the first one that he went to? Nehemiah didn't say, yeah, you know what? There is a priest. As a matter of fact, that guy is one of ours too. We need to get together and we've got to come up with a plan for how we are going to repair those walls. I mean, it's not like we won't pray about it. We'll have a prayer meeting and we'll schedule a prayer meeting, but I got to go talk to those other guys and see if we can come up with a way to do that. And then, you know, we'll kind of pray on the way. Nehemiah didn't do that. What is the first thing he did? He prayed, first of all, therefore, first of all, and for those that are in authority. I was the king's cupbearer. And he begins to talk about that in the next chapter there. Very, very important for those in an authority. And I've got to ask you, are you praying for those that are in authority? Because again, I just got a couple minutes left and I only got one more point with you anyway. But I would like to continue to tell people about Christ freely. I've kind of committed that I'm going to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ even if they threaten my life. But I have to be honest about it. I'd rather not have to go that far. I've thought that through. It'd be nice if I had some freedom where I wasn't afraid to preach. I wasn't afraid to use the name Jesus. So I'm going to pray. Let's go back now to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Can you understand why he is saying this? Timothy is living in a very, very wicked world where the Romans are in control and there's a bunch of bad stuff going on. And they really are having their lives threatened. And oh, by the way, Timothy would know this because he hears, not only from the epistles, but he hears the stories of what's happening to Paul. He gets beaten. He gets stoned. They think he's dead. They drag him out of the city. Are you sure you want to be a pastor? This is what's happening. And what does Paul tell Timothy? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Yeah, we all need it. For kings. And then, oh, by the way, not just kings. Well, we don't have a king. All right, how about this next one? For all that are in authority, any authorities of any kind. Lord, you know, my boss, I would like to witness to him. Lord, would you work on my boss's heart? Lord, I would like some time off because at church they happen to have a conference. I'd like to go to that. My boss wants me to work. Would you give me grace in the eyes of this man that I would actually be able to go to church? Because I want to hear from you more than I want to hear from my boss. Are you praying for all that are in authority? The pastor, the president, your boss at work? This is why? So that we can lead this quiet and peaceable life in verse number 2, the second half of it, in all godliness and honesty. The Lord does want us to live that way. And by the way, he wants other people to be saved, and that's where it goes on. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm ordained a preacher. I'm going to skip to verse number 8 because my time is up. Here's verse 8. I will therefore that men pray. I got to give you one more thing. Bear with me. 5 minutes or less. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, not just lifting up. There's so many in the people in the world, in the Christian realm that are doing that. Okay, lifting up hands, that's great. It doesn't say that. It says lifting up holy hands. As a matter of fact, there's another scripture that comes to mind right now where the Lord kind of gets sick of the people holding up their hands and he said, your hands are full of blood. So, all right, lift up your hands, but what's in your hands? What have your hands been doing? Lifting up holy hands. Now we circle right back to where we started yesterday. Am I right with God? When I lift up my hands, what does he see my hands stained with? Is that the reaction? Lifting up holy hands. The Lord doesn't mind you lifting up your hands, but how are your hands? That's important. You circle right back to where we started. Are you right with God? The Lord wants us to be people of prayer, first of all, that he is the name that comes to our mind immediately. Oh, Lord, I need your help before I even talk to another human. If you want to point me to another human that maybe could give me some advice, that'd be great. But Lord, I need you more than I need any human. Why? Because the world that we're living in is a sin-cursed world. And Lord, we need your help, and people still need to get saved, and you left me here for this reason. So Lord, I want to pray for, you know, all that are in authority, anybody that's in any authority of any kind, those in the White House, those at the Capitol in Madison, in Dane County, right here in the capital of our state, the governor. I want to pray for my boss. I want to pray for my pastor. I want to pray for anybody in any authority of any kind. And Lord, show me if my hands are dirty, because I want my prayers answered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, or if I got bloody hands. I want you to think about that. That's extremely important. All of these things apply, obviously, and the Lord truly does want to hear from you. And I got to ask you this question as I wrap it up. Do you know the God of the Bible? Do you know the Jesus Christ of the Bible? The Holy One who can wash away all your sins. The one that even this morning, okay, so if you think about it, the Lord convicted you about some things. Your hands are not perfectly clean. Guess who can clean you? Guess who can clean you? Come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. You know what snow does? Covers dead things. It's beautiful. I don't know if you know this or not. I did a study on it. I think I talked about this a number of years ago, too. The reason snow often puts off a blue hue and not a red hue is it absorbs red light. There's something about snowflakes. Do a little research on that. It absorbs red light. Why did the Lord use that then, snow? Though your sin be as scarlet, it could be as white as snow. Man, what a beautiful thing. And then provides nutrients for the ground so the dirt can grow. I'm telling you, I don't know if you know this or not, but snow puts out nitrogen very slowly into the ground. It is a beautiful study. There's a reason the Lord says that. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to help you. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants you to have a relationship with Him that's like this, better than your relationship with any human. You can have that today. Would you stand with me, please? And let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity for us to go through these things this morning. Lord, I've done the best that I could with it, which obviously humanly it always falls short. But Lord, you can take anything and make it into something beautiful. That's what you do. And Lord, the best thing in the world you could do is speak to the hearts of these that are here. If there's anybody here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, who has not been washed as white as snow by the blood of the Lamb, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, no matter where we are in our walk with you, there's something lacking in our prayer life, something missing, like a prayer life. Lord, would you speak to our hearts about that? Please, Lord, speak to your people and me included, obviously. Bless this personal prayer time that each one has and speak to your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.